Last time I talked to you, you were running for election, and I talked to you because you are one of the two representatives for our Waikato constituency, but now also the chairperson. Was that something that you thought was a possibility before the election?
Oh, I think that, during the campaign, obviously the primary focus is to be able to get in front of voters and convince them that you're the right representative for them. And then, of course, once I was successful in getting reelected, then I turned my mind towards whether or not leadership was something that I was interested in, and certainly had people approach me about that.
So, and your name was, in the end, there was a 7-all votes for two candidates,
yes.
Had to have the name pulled from the hat. Is that, how does that feel when something like that happens?
Oh, I think, ideally it would be lovely if it was a majority, but we have a provision in place for addressing these types of ties because they sometimes do happen. We were not the only regional council that experienced that. There were other ones in the country that had to address by drawing names out of something, whether that was a hat or a tin or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's because is the position equivalent to the mayor of the district council?
It's not exactly the same. I suppose the thing is that a mayor is elected by popular vote.
Mm.
The chair of a regional council is selected by the councillors themselves. It was established that way because obviously if you went by just a popular vote for the chair of regional council, then whatever constituency had the greatest number of voters would more likely than not take it out single time.
Yep.
So you, like, for instance, in the case of Waikato Region, you would probably always have the chair coming from Hamilton if that was the process that was utilized in regional council. And that's, the desire to ensure that there is appropriate representation from across the region is, I believe, why it was set up this way, that the chair of regional council is selected by the councillors themselves.
Okay. And there was, I know it was reported in the papers that everyone was expressing the desire to have, immediately after that, the decision and the deputy decision were decided, a desire to have a peaceful council again. But then things have almost immediately after that blown up in the media again. Is it as dysfunctional as the press is making it sound at the moment?
I don't believe it is at all, Aaron. I think that obviously whenever you get a new group of people together, there's the whole forming, storming, norming that we're all familiar with in teams. And it's a group of new people that have to come together and get to know each other and understand each other's perspectives. And obviously there's a process that you go through in that. And obviously the first challenge for any council is to establish its governance structure, so that establishing all of the committees that it wishes to have and the membership of those committees. And I suppose that for me as the chair, I wanted to make sure that we took as long as we needed to get through that process. I think it was really important that there was adequate provision for workshops, individual discussions as a group, to establish what was a governance structure that was going to be fit for purpose for this triennium and this council, and what would those memberships look like. So we took a little bit of extra time to work our way through, but I'm really pleased with where we've ended up.
So there seemed to be like a lot of committees and subcommittees with regional council, more than I can fit in my head, frankly. Sure. There was a news item from regional council itself said there were still 12 committees to be sorted out at that time.
There are 12 committees that are required by statute or by legal requirements.
Oh yes, okay.
Yeah, so there are discretionary committees, the committees that the council itself gets to decide that it feels are warranted for effective governance. Those are things like our Environmental Performance Committee, our Strategy and Policy, Integrated Catchment, Risk Insurance, Finance and Services, and our Climate Action, as well as our Chief Executive Employment and Remuneration Committee. So those are ones that are discretionary committees that the council decides are appropriate for our governance structure. But we also have a number of committees that are required, like I say, either by statute or by legal requirement. So those would include the Civil Defense and Emergency Management, the Regional Transport. We also are a part of the Future Proof Implementation Committee. And also we have a number of joint management agreements that are a result of treaty settlements.
Okay, all right. So now I understand it. Sometimes the regional council is a bit of a mystery. Now you have been accused by other councillors of stacking the committee positions, and so I thought we should give you the chance to reply to that. But also I want to put a bit of a background. Like, it's normal for mayors and chair people to suggest or choose who's on these committees and create these committees. And so I'm wondering whether you've been accused of something that's perfectly normal, or, you know, like, can you give us the story here? What's happening?
Sure. So like I say, we spent quite a bit of time as a council in multiple workshops. We had three formal workshops, as well as I had a number of one-on-one conversations with every councillor about what we felt was going to be the best structure. That structure and the committee memberships was put to council on the 24th of November. And I'm really pleased to say that there were 34 unanimous decisions that were made by council on the 24th. Those are not necessarily being reported as widely as some of the other commentary that's out there. But we did have 34 unanimous decisions as to the membership makeup of those committees. And then it was delegated to the committees themselves to determine their chair and deputy chair. My understanding is that's the first time that's happened, that those decisions have been delegated to the committees themselves.
Was that a result of the disagreement amongst the council about how to handle it, that you decided to push that decision down to the individual committees?
I think it was really important to councillors that they get an opportunity to have their say about what who they wanted to see in the various leadership positions, and so it was from my perspective, it was important that those were committee decisions, and so that's where we've ended up. I'm really pleased that we now have those in place, because from my perspective, like I said, we took a little bit of extra time to get here. I'm hoping that because we took that extra time, we're more comfortable with where we've landed. But we are now 2 months in to this three-year triennium, and 3 years goes quickly. Mm. And we do have a lot ahead of us. And so I'm looking forward to us getting on with the mahi, because there's plenty to do.
So one of the things that's apparent is that there seem to be, from the outside, there seem to be two voting blocks, and they are equal numbers, seven all. There's the potential, I foresee a potential future where your casting vote as chair is having to be used a lot to break deadlocks. Are you comfortable with doing things that way? Because I know sometimes that's not what people prefer to see happening.
I think the reason a casting vote exists is because these types of situations can happen when you have 14 people. There is a likelihood that on occasion you might have a 7-7 split, and that's why there is the provision for a casting vote. We have already made a number of decisions as a council that have not required that. And I am sure that there's a real collective will to like I say, get on with the work and to serve our communities and to make effective decisions together. So I am optimistic that situation doesn't occur on a regular basis.
Okay, can I just check too, because I didn't quite get an answer. Councillor Smith was saying that you were looking to stack your committees. Do you have a direct response to that?
Like I say, the membership of all the committees were unanimously agreed to.
Okay, all right. So moving on for the... We've got, as you said, 3 years already up and running. Do you have any like big picture aims for the next 3 years for the regional council?
Well, we're currently working through that as a council. So we are currently reviewing the 3 year strategic priorities that were set last triennium. We have eight new councillors, and so we're going through the process of looking at what we achieved, what were the aims, is there arguments for a shift or a change in attention, and so later this week we'll be meeting again as a council to in an informal workshop just to look at what are some of the bigger picture challenges we have ahead of us so that we can lock in that strategic priority for the next 3 years, and then that, of course, will guide our work from then on.
So, are there things that you personally would like to see happen?
I think personally, I'd like to see a real strong voice for the Waikato region, particularly in response to some of the national direction for reform. There is considerable reform that our council is having to get their heads around, and I think that it's important when change is proposed from particularly from central government. I think it's really important that the Waikato region has a real strong voice in response to that, so that Wellington gets a view of what the impacts, both positive and negative, might be in terms of proposed direction. So I think that's a real important space for us to engage. I also look forward to working really collectively and collaboratively with the other territorial authorities across the region.
Can I leap in, Pamela? Did you, like, I had
sure.
a quick read of the government, the document they put out a month or two ago. Did you divine any particular direction out of that they're going for, or is it just a kind of flying kite kind of exercise at this stage, albeit a detailed kite?
Are you speaking in reference to the local government reform,
yes,
or
yeah,
to the resource management reform, or to the freshwater reform?
Sorry,
or,
yes. We'll just stick with one complicated document at a time, the local government.
Absolutely.
One. Yeah.
So the local government one... I think that of course is a review, not a reform. And so I think that certainly was about getting feedback from local government as to what was working, what wasn't working. There is further opportunity for us to provide more detailed feedback. I think it's tomorrow, actually, that they're coming to the Waikato and gathering councils, multiple councils together for collective feedback on where they're getting to. I think that where we're going to see the significant change potentially come in terms of representation and where decision making sits will be through the resource management reforms. And of course, those proposals have just recently been released. And we have to get submissions in by the 30th of January, which will be a challenge. You know, I think that's going to be a challenge for all councils across the country.
So that's over summer, basically.
That. Pardon me?
So that's happening all over summer for you guys, having to digest it and submit.
Exactly. So that's, I believe there's something like 900 pages of proposed legislation.
Wow.
that policy people across the country have to get their heads around. And I suppose that the interesting challenge, particularly for our council, is, like I said, we have eight brand new councillors. And so we've got a workshop, I believe it's Tuesday as well, this week, just to try and bring councillors up to speed on what has been proposed and what are the areas where we can provide feedback effectively through our submissions. But it is it's a complex issue. Resource management, full stop, is complex. let alone what the proposed changes might mean for us as a council and for us as a region. And so there is a bit of a challenge to get everybody's heads around that so that we can make an effective and informed submission by the 30th of January. But I'm sure we're all up to the task, Aaron.
Is that... That feels like the thing of governments issuing bad news on a Friday when the media's not paying any attention. Putting a submission thing across summer like that feels like a strategy to reduce opposition. You're probably not going to say that out loud, I imagine, here on the interview. But
well, I have to say that this is the third Christmas or holiday season in a row where we've seen information that is released and submissions requested back, and so I think there's certainly a sense of frustration in that, because we want to be able, as a council, as individuals, we want to be able to make informed and effective responses to these proposals, and ensuring that we have adequate time to absorb them and to weigh up the pros and cons to something. I think that's really important to allow for if we are all committed to effective policy development.
So is there a change to the Resource Management Act? Well, it would be a whole new act, I think. Could that really substantially change what Regional Council does?
I think it could. So there are three different acts proposed in the resource management reform.
Yeah.
I think it could certainly impact on both district councils, city councils, and regional councils in terms of who's responsible for what, where the decision making lies. And also, I think that the real important point is ensuring that there is that local voice, right? Ensuring that there is opportunity for people to continue to have their say and have their influence in terms of what happens with regard to resource use around them, right, and in their local community.
Yeah, well, that's always our concern out here in Raglan. We're a small voice, but albeit a loud one, that we can see a lot of decisions that could be made better if they were made locally, and this mostly applies to district council, but with the local government reform happening, I mean, our fears are that we would have less power and that we really should have more power over just stuff that happens locally. There's so much stuff up in the air now, I don't think I could actually predict what way anything's going to fall.
I think that with the quantum and the speed of change that has been proposed, I think it is, it's easy to feel a little bit uneasy about, are we going to, how do we assure ourselves as individuals, as community members, that we're going to not only be able to have a strong voice, but also to ensure that decision makers do have a connection with our communities. I think that's really important. And it is, one of the valuable things about local government, and we just saw that in our recent local government elections, is the ability to have conversations with your elected officials, right? Meet them face-to-face at the Meet the Candidates events and at community boards and various community events. I think it's really important that there is that sense of local accountability and also that decision-makers have a connection with the communities that they represent. I think that's important to people. And I think it leads us to good decision making long term. I suppose we have to weigh all of that up against efficiency and effectiveness of getting decisions done and making sure that we do make progress. So there is innately a bit of a tension in that space. But I know that particularly all of our councillors that sit around the Waikato Regional Council table are certainly committed to doing the mahi and working collectively together to make the best, most robust decisions for our communities going forward.
So that, in that issue of people having a say on things, are that like, imagine I can think of one person who might be listening who would have the interest and the capacity to make a submission about the Resource Management Act. Are people better off talking to like you, like our local councillor, about those sorts of issues if they have concerns, or can the normal people make submissions as well about the resource management changes?
Oh, absolutely. Individuals can put in their own submissions to the released documents that came out with regards to the resource management reforms earlier this month. So their due date would be the same as ours, which is the 30th of January. I don't know how many people are going to be keen to read the 900 plus pages of legislation over their holiday break, but if that is an area that people are particularly interested in, I do encourage you to have your say. You know, this is your opportunity alongside all of the other participants in the sector.
Okay. Well, now I know you've got to go soon, Pamela. Can you just tell us what next for the regional council? What is the council focused on? You've got, are all the committees in place, or you've still got more to appoint for the statutory ones?
No, all of the committees are in place now, so all of our structure is finalized. We can now, like I say, get down to the mahi, and really what's going to direct that is where we land in terms of our 3-year strategic priorities. And so that would be the first area of focus for us as a council. Like I said, we also have that submission to the RM reforms. And then, of course, we've got our coastal plan that should be released early in the new year. And there will be another opportunity then for people to make submissions on that. And also really getting into our implementation of the Freshwater National Policy Statement across our region. Those would be, I would say, the first caps off the rank for us as a council.
Okay, and are the strategic priorities, is that a document that you guys issue, or is it just a discussion you have?
It's an actual document that we will issue.
Okay, all right.
So I'll make sure I send you a copy, shall I?
Yeah.
Maybe we can schedule another follow-up interview where I can just talk you through where we've landed.
Yeah, because that actually sounds like something to get a bit more specific, because it's all a bit hand-wavy this morning with all these monster big picture things, but I guess that's the way it goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Pamela, look, thank you for your time this morning, and yes, we'll talk to you again sometime in the future.
Great. Thank you very much, Aaron, and all the best for the holiday season. All the best to your fantastic listeners. I hope they stay safe and have a nice, restful, relaxing break.
Okay, thanks for your time, Pamela.